Good morning. If you want to be turning your Bibles to John chapter 15, our lesson text will be John chapter 15, 1 through 10. You know, I got thinking the other day about the word abiding. And that's really what the title of today's message will be, Abiding in Christ. Really, what does that entail, to abide in Christ? I think about God's faithfulness. When I think about the word abiding, I think of remaining faithful, abiding in Christ, sticking it out with God to the very end. And so, when Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, he says that God would always be faithful. He'd always remain faithful. No matter what people's unfaithfulness does around him, he will stay and remain faithful. And so when Christ comes to chapter 15 and discusses that he's going to be the true vine, he will express our responsibility of being connected to Jesus and abiding in him. So I have 3 points this morning. And this again includes the end of the month message on God's unchanging plan. That God has always had a plan and it never changes, that we, to be in Christ, must stay connected with him in every area of our life. So abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ means that there is some benefits to abiding in Christ while we're here on the planet, on the earth. And the means of this abiding, the means of it, and the alternative to not abiding, or to this abiding. Abiding in Christ. So in John 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you're clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides on the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then he goes on in verse 11 to say, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. The first point is abiding in Christ and the benefits to that. And you know, we think about Jesus continually cleansing us from all unrighteousness, being in him. The benefit is to be forgiven, of course, first and foremost. To be forgiven of God by and through Jesus' blood is why we're here. And so, through his word, by his word, we remain. That's the benefit. By reading our Bibles and being in the word, can we grab hold of the truth of Jesus Christ and understand who he is. By walking in the light and confessing our sins. In 1 John 1:7, we mention this often, but notice the condition, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And that's the benefit to being in Christ. That not only are we able to be forgiven through his word that washes us through the washing of the word, and But we have the opportunity to have fellowship with each other in Christ, abiding in Him. And then through the trials of the followers of Jesus in 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 and 7, in this you rejoice. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through the testing of fire, may be proved to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So yes, there will be times of trial. There's no doubt about it. We've all tasted this. In our fellowship, we've been honest and open with each other to confess and be honest about our struggles, whether we be struggling with sin, to be honest, and or the trials of physical health. When we need each other to pray for one another, we do so and before the throne of God, that He would answer. That's what Jesus said. He says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish. I like the word wish. Maybe it's not translated perfectly accurate there in the original Greek, but Jesus is saying, let me know. I love that about abiding in Christ. God gives us the ability to bear fruit. This is one of the things I think that's really challenging for the mind of a Christian, is not only, I don't want to go too deep, but the fruit of the Spirit is an absolute. And Galatians 5, 19 through 23 talks about last week I mentioned about the fruit of darkness, and it produces death, and then the fruit of the Spirit is all of God's quality and character. Jesus is including this understanding of what it means to bear fruit. So we're God's workmanship. In Ephesians 2:10, a lot of people like to read Ephesians 2:8 through 9 and say it's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. It's by grace we've been saved through faith. But it's interesting how Paul says in Ephesians, the next verse after that, salvation we have is we are God's workmanship. One of the things that needs to be understood as God's people is we're created by God, once we come to a knowledge of the truth of the Savior, to do good works. We're not saved to just be idle. And that's the first thought there. And we can do all things through Him, because He gives us the ability to bear fruit. It's not that He leaves us alone. He doesn't just say, well, your sins are forgiven, do whatever you want now. We all have a responsibility, every one of us. And this is the thing, we all have at least one ability when we're Christians to do the will of God. And it says we can do all things through Him. Philippians 3:12. It's important to know, we don't do it on our own. Right? He says you can do nothing on your own. This isn't about you, but with me, you'll get this job done that I've given each and every one of you. We're pruned by God. It says God prunes those who are beneficiaries of God's abiding in Christ. We're going to be pruned by God, which is good, because when we're disciplined through all the trials, the removal of sin, when we repent and we're pruned by God and we make greater changes for God's ministry and the purpose of why we're Christians, we can be used even more effective. That's the perfect idea of God pruning us. He's not just going to let us not grow. We're not just going to go to church on Sunday and never grow. As a Christian, we will always, and we're reminded in each other's lives, we're still on a growing course. No matter how old we are, we can never outgrow God in His will. God hears the benefit of being abiding in Christ is that God hears and answers prayers. It's just amazing. God not only hears what being in Christ effectively has toward Him, but He hears us and He answers them. So if there's anyone here that hasn't had any ever answered prayers, just take a second, be by yourself, like Jesus said, go in the closet and pray. He will hear you. The condition, staying connected to the Father through His Son. He's the vine. That's the intense, what an intense thought when Jesus says, you know, I'm going to use, He uses the metaphor that He's the vine. Some of us know vine fields better than others. I've never seen one, vineyards, but they're pretty massive. And they need to be cared for to get the best fruit, the best grapes out of them. And God, Jesus says, my Father's the vine dresser. My Father's the vine. God's always in charge of the work of His Son. And so according to God's will, God answers prayers. It's that's the full 1 John 5:14. God will answer according to His will. Sometimes we don't know everything in life of His will be done. That's why Jesus said, your will be done. Because even when He was going to the cross, He struggled to get the job done for God. He knew He needed to. And so sometimes we don't know exactly what's God's will. I don't know if any of you have ever woke up in the morning and say, God, what is your will for me today? Sometimes I think we get too caught up in the same old in life. We get up, eat our breakfast, and go about work, come home, say hi to family, eat some more food, take a shower, go to bed, or whatever that system is. But I'm just saying this because it is important to know God's will and our reliance on that. But the second point is the means of abiding. Jesus abides in us, like I had read earlier in the scripture reading. He gives us the Spirit, capital S. There's something about the understanding about what God gives us. It's not going to leave us as orphans. But He also gives us His Word. So I will say this, that when we abide in Him, as we abide in His Word, in John 8:31, He says, if you're really my disciples, or if you're truly my disciples, you'll hold to my teaching. So holding to Jesus' teaching is absolutely abiding in Jesus. Anyone who doesn't read their Bible and doesn't really put into practice what's said, it would be very difficult. And you can evaluate yourself, because no one has to make a judgment on that, because God says, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. One of those things, the way we can examine ourselves real quick, is are we reading the Bible and really striving to put into practice what we read? That's why Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. We have to continue to be in His Word, doing what He says, because it's true of the Holy Spirit dwelling in a person that's a Christian. Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you. So as my conviction, as I would share with you guys and to encourage us, is that God, as God's Word dwells in us, so also His Spirit. Because we live after God's Word. We abide in His love. In 9 and 10, He talks about that we need to be abiding. If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love. They're connected. It's not an obligated burden like the old law of, if you don't do all of the law, you're going to be condemned. It's when we obey Jesus, we love Him. And He loves us back. He says, you're doing it right. So there has to be love there. It can't be ritualistic to bear fruit to God. We can't be stuck. Oh, what a burden it is. I got to deny myself, pick up the cross, and go help somebody else do the same thing that I'm doing. That's where it shouldn't be. That's why Jesus said, your joy is going to be complete in the joy of being able to help other people know me and attach them to the vine. Keeping His commands. Well, what's He command here? He continues with us only if we bear fruit. Look at verse 2. And I want us to see this. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Notice that? And the fruit of the Spirit, it's the character. This is the byproduct of what overflows from our hearts to bring God glory, more people to Him. That's what John 8:15 is all about. This is to my Father's glory, Jesus says, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Showing ourselves. Showing what? Other people. God says, out of the fruit of the Spirit in us, we can share that with others. That's the point Jesus is making. I think it's overlooked when we think about the word fruit. Fruit can mean the fruit of the Spirit, but it can also mean other people being saved, remaining in Jesus. Again, doing nothing for God? Well, we'll get to this. If we don't use that ability, he says, whatever the ability is, even if you're not fully in understanding of this, he says you're going to be thrown away, become a dead branch. Nobody wants to be a dead branch in the church. Can you imagine? We're striving to be connected to Jesus, take the Lord's Supper, remember what He's done for us, thank You for forgiving us, Jesus. And then we're a dead branch. A dead branch. And it's no wonder why we're warned throughout the Bible not to become lukewarm or complacent or lazy. I mean, Jesus really does wake up the true followers here. You look at the parable of the talents, or Matthew chapter 25. He says, you know, his master, he comes in, he says, you wicked, lazy servant. And I'm not trying to pick on anyone here to say you're lazy. I'm just saying this is what the Word of God says when we're not abiding in Him and producing and bearing fruit. Me included, we're all in this. He says, you know that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. In verse 30, and throw that worthless servant outside. This is exactly what Jesus is saying here. Throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Boy, that's exhausting to read in the Bible. We never want to be wicked, lazy servants. That's the point here. Because we're going to be held accountable of how we use or waste our talents. This is the point. How do we use our talents? All must participate in the role of actively being used by God in what He's given us. Like I said, you got the one talented brother out here. Maybe it's only me. Maybe I preach the Word. I'm the one talented guy. I don't have any more than this. And then you have the five talented person. They're really cranking. And in this parable, maybe you're the awesomest talented guy and you got so much talent. But what's sobering about this is it just shows me everybody is called to produce fruit. Even the one talented person has to do something with the talent God's given him in His name. That's the thing that's striking me, because He says, if you only have one gift and you're not even using that, give it to the brother give it to the other guy that's really cranking. And you think to yourself, how come God would have that one talent guy have to give his talent up to give it to the other guy that's already got plenty? He's doing so well. And this is how this is the sobering part of this message. You know, that we have to remain on the vine. We have to do this. This is something that is a one-man show. God says, this brings glory to my Father. The alternative to this abiding, to not abide, to not remain in Jesus, He says, we either abide in Him and bear fruit, or we're not His disciples in verse 8. That's what it is. God doesn't just say, go to church and you're all set for the week. We can either abide and bear fruit or be cast away. This is what this parable says. This is sobering. This is hard to preach. I love the part where He says, remain in Me and I love you. That's a powerful thought, but this is to convey we have to do something, every one of us, for the sake of God's kingdom. Possible for a Christian to fall away? Yeah. If you fall away from the purpose God's given you. If you claim to be a Christian, like I said, and you only have one talent, we don't beat anybody up for a one talent. We don't want to beat anyone up that has one talent. God says, if you have just one talent, use it for Me. Are we going to be perfect? Absolutely not. But we can't not do anything either. This is what Jesus is saying. You got to do something with what I've given you. Possible to be grafted back in. If you've fallen away, if you've lost your focus and purpose of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, a Christian, a saved person, Romans 11:23 says you can be brought back in before the burning. And then in James 5:19 through 20, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from the wandering will save his soul from death and will cover over a multitude of sins. This is the whole concept of, yes, we can be brought back to God. God's always called us back to repentance. So when you're sitting down by yourself and you're reading your Bible and you listen to my sermon or you think about what I'm saying before God and you, and you read this parable and you're not feeling like you're productive, pray about this. Pray about this. If I am wrong preaching this, help me. But I think this is really important for us to grab hold of, to be productive, to be fruitful in that sense. The invitation's simple. We cannot abide in Jesus unless we're first in Him. Obviously, to be connected to Jesus, we need to be baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:26 and 27, if you want to write that down. We will abide in Him, and He in us, if we continue to let His Word abide in us. As we let the Word of Christ sink into us, we abide in Him through what He's given us, the Spirit. We abide in Him, and we're obedient to Him. The thing is we can't just read the Bible and not do anything it says. The Bible tells us we're in sin and we know it's sin. We got to get out of it. That's all. It's not beating the next guy up. Just repent. God's always opened that door for us to repent. In fact, we show God we don't want to be cast out as a fruitless branch and be lost. How? By repenting and being baptized for the remission of sins. That's our initial contact with the blood of Jesus. Being baptized for the forgiveness of sins, having them forgiven, and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2:38. The promises for them, their children, and those who are far off. And who are the far off? Us. We're the far off. So if there's anyone here that has not been baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission, the forgiveness of your sins, please come forward as we sing the invitation song.